9, verses 32 to 43. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Let us pray. O Lord, as we listen now, we trust in the life-giving power of your word. Keep our hearts and minds open to it and to what it can do in us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're a couple of weeks past Easter now, but the good news of Christ's resurrection is still just as potent. It's easy to get pumped up for the day when we celebrate Jesus' exit from the tomb, but we need to remember that the resurrection was more than just a one-time event. It was the inauguration of God's new creation, the age of redemption, when God was acting to put things right in a lost and broken world, rescuing us from the power of sin and of death. Easter means that God's life-giving, saving power has been unleashed in the world, and nothing can ever be the same. And yet, when we listen to Luke's story about the mission of the early church, so many things do still seem to be the same. For instance, people still get sick and die, including righteous, faithful folks. One such person was Aeneas, whom we meet in this morning's scripture passage from the book of Acts. Just because Jesus has been raised from the dead doesn't mean that Aeneas' eight-year battle with paralysis is immediately or instantly over, but we're told that soon it will be. Peter comes, invokes the name of Jesus, and soon Aeneas is back on his feet. In today's story, we also meet Tabitha, a disciple who spent most of her time helping the poor in Joppa. Whenever they needed someone to help restock the food pantry, Tabitha was there. Whenever a call came in for request for assistance from the Benevolence Fund, Tabitha was the one who took the call and processed the request. Whenever they needed more help at the homeless shelter, Tabitha was the one who went out and started recruiting additional volunteers. Tabitha's name was synonymous with compassion care, support. But now, this woman, who's brought them so much comfort and hope, and so much of the same to so many others in the community, is dead. The whole community is in mourning. In fact, makeshift altars have been set up there at the doorway of her house. Folks come by. Some of them are folks who benefited from her care for the poor. Some of them are just other folks from the community who've heard about her and her reputation and her ministry of service in the name of God. Some come by and they light a candle. Others place a flower at the door. Some tie on a ribbon. From the moment that news of Tabitha's death began to circulate, this flow of mourners hasn't stopped. Now, some folks look at the situation there and they see Tabitha's death as an end. The end of Tabitha's life, the end of her ministry, the end of her witness for God and work for God's kingdom. But there are others in this situation, namely Jesus' followers, who look at this situation and they see not an end, but a beginning. Where others see only death, these followers of Jesus see the possibility of life. So what they do is they send word quickly to Peter to come. Now notice that they're not calling upon Peter to come and officiate at Tabitha's funeral. They're not calling upon Peter to come and provide pastoral care in the midst of this situation of shock and grief. They're calling upon Peter because they know that he has a reputation as a healer. Remember, these are followers of Jesus. Not the dead Jesus, but the risen, living Lord, whose power is at work in the ministry of Peter and the other apostles and these followers of Jesus. It's true. Tabitha is dead. Her body's already been prepared for burial. Family's been to the funeral home, made arrangements, picked out a casket, got all the plans set up and everything. But since when has God let death have the final say? What about the time that the son of the widow of Zarephath was dead and Elijah restored his life? What about the time that Elisha took the Shunammite widow's dead son and gave him life again? What about the time that Jesus went to a town called Nain, we're told, stepped right into the midst of a funeral procession, raised the boy back, brought him to life again, and then returned him to his mother? What about the time that Jesus took Jairus' dead daughter and raised her to life? And all this even before Easter. This life-giving, saving power. It's no wonder that the disciples there in Joppa weren't prepared to give up on Tabitha. They knew that God had a history of making the dead live again. So they summoned Peter, trusting that the power of Jesus, this redeeming, life-giving, saving power of God, was at work through him, and they weren't disappointed. We're told that Peter dismissed everyone else from the room, got down on his knees, and prayed. He looked at the dead woman and said, "Tabitha, get up. Get up." She opened her eyes and sat up. Can you imagine the expressions on the mourners' faces when Peter and Tabitha came walking back out of the room? The community that had lost one of its own had now gotten her back. Once again, God had wrenched life from the power of death. The power of God, we see in our scripture passage today, operates in and through the community of God's people in Christ. And not just any kind of power, this redeeming, reconciling, restorative power of the God who's dealt with our sins at the cross and has delivered us from the tomb by delivering Jesus from the tomb. The Apostle Paul speaks of him as the God, quote, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And then Paul also says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Now, Paul has in mind there not only God's promise to raise those who are in Christ from the dead when Christ comes again, but also the assurance that his resurrection power is already at work and operating in the lives of those who believe in Jesus Christ in the here and now. In other words, becoming like Jesus isn't just something that will happen to believers at the end. Yes, that. But becoming like Jesus is something that will also happen to believers on the way to the end by the power of God. And in order for that to happen in your life and in my life, we have to stay connected to the power of God in Christ in our lives, so that his resurrection power, the very life, the life of Christ, can flow into us and through us into the world and into the lives of others. There's a man named Herbert Jackson. He talks about how in a seminary missions class, he tried to share an experience that would help others learn about what it was like on the mission field. When he started in his location, he was given an old car, and the only way to really start it was to give it a push first. So he developed a plan for how this was going to work in the course of his ministry. He began by going to the local school, asking for permission to get some of the kids out of class to help him push the car to get on his way. And over time, he learned how either to park on a hill or leave the engine running so that he could carry on about his daily ministry. He followed this, what he considered ingenious procedure and plan, for 2 years. Eventually, Jackson got sick, and he and his family had to leave that place of mission. A new missionary was sent to that location, and one of the first things that Jackson started to do was explain to him this ingenious plan he had for keeping this car going in order to get on the daily rounds of ministry. But before he had even finished the explanation, this new missionary was already under the hood, refastening a connection and saying, "Oh, I think, Mr. Jackson, this is all it is right here, this loose connection," which he popped back in, got in, pushed the button, started, roared right back up. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. Needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all along, but what was necessary to connect to it and to have it do what it could do, the connection wasn't there. The connection was keeping the power from being at work. See, when we remain firm in our connection with God through worship, Bible study, prayer, service, fellowship, ministry in its many forms, the power that raised Christ from the dead can work in us and through us for God's purposes in our lives and in the world. To raise us to newness of life, to raise us to newness of life individually, to newness of life as a congregation. So maybe the word that each of us individually and we as a congregation need to hear this morning is the same word that Peter spoke to Tabitha. Rise. Rise. Rise, Grace Baptist Church. Rise, people of God. Rise, insert your name there. Rise. Let the Spirit of God, the power and life of God himself, operate in you more fully and more effectively through faith in Jesus Christ. It's easy for us to slip into a state of paralysis and deadness in our lives individually and as a congregation. We grow satisfied with the status quo in our lives, in our church, in the world. We become complacent sometimes about our congregation. Our passion for Christ, our passion for the community of Christ's people, can start to wane and grow weary We get tired sometimes, or apathy sets in. We lose our zeal for the life of following Jesus, the life of being God's people in the world, the church. We lose sight of the fact that we as a congregation have been called into existence by the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That we have been called into our very existence, even as a church, by this God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and has given us His Spirit as a down payment and a guarantee of what is to come by the power of God in Christ. But we aren't always, as individuals and as a congregation, eagerly awaiting and expecting what is to come through Christ, are we? Sometimes we're satisfied with what has been or what now is. That's true. We need to rejoice and give thanks for what God has done, what God is doing in our lives as well. But that doesn't mean that we close ourselves off from the possibilities of the future. And one of the ways that paralysis and deadness can work their way into our lives and into our congregation is by sort of convincing us, sometimes subtly and without our awareness, that things are just the way they are in our lives, in our church, in the world. The boundaries are fixed. Nothing can be changed. Nothing can really be made new. Fred Craddock tells a story about a young pastor who went to visit an elderly woman in the hospital. She was there, her head lying on the pillow, sort of struggling, gasping for breath. So the pastor spent some time with her to try to comfort and reassure, and eventually said, "Now, it's time for me to go. I got to be on my way, but is there something else we can do together? You know, we pray. Do you want to pray again?" She said, "Oh, yes." He said, "Well, what would you like for us to pray for today?" She said, "Well, I'd like for you to pray that I be healed, of course." So the young pastor gasped, but went on with his prayer, which said, "Lord, we pray for your sustaining presence with this sick sister. And if it be thy will, we pray that she will be restored to health and to service. But if it's not thy will, we certainly hope that she will adjust to her circumstances." Suddenly, the old woman opened her eyes. She sat up in bed. She put her legs over to the side of the bed and got up, started walking around, said, "Look at me! Look at me! I'm healed! I'm healed!" And the last he saw of her, she was walking down the hallway of the hospital toward the nurse's station. "Look at me! Look at me!" He made his way back down the stairs to the parking lot, got to his car, and opened the door. But before he got in the car, he looked up and said, "Don't you ever do that to me again." Thanks be to God who comes into our deadness, our paralysis in all its forms, with this liberating command of heaven: rise. Rise, Grace Baptist Church. Get up, people of God. And actually, I mean that right now quite literally. Stand up with me. Take your bulletin. You'll see in it a rectangular box with some scripture in it. Get up and see the things that God has done, is doing, and will do in your lives as followers of Jesus individually and in our life together as his people. And with me, read this scripture that's in our box. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. God of saving power, God of life, we confess to you those times and ways that paralysis and deadness work their way into us, and we grow complacent or apathetic or just weary about following Jesus and about being your people, the church. We thank you, though, that even though Easter is 2 weeks behind us, the good news is just as potent. Christ, your Son, is just as alive, working in us and through us now. Keep us open to and connected to your power in all the ways that you come to us to be present in us and to fill us with the life of Christ. And do even more than what we often ask or imagine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.